There we are. Hello, hello, and welcome back. This is call number five, week number five of The Truth About Sales. I am your illustrious host, Joel Rico. Thanks for being here. We are just kind of shifting gears into the next phase of this course, of this training. So in the beginning, we started off by doing some self-evaluation, by doing some self-critique, by finding out, like, what am I doing? What am I not doing? What's working? What's not working? those were some clearing exercises that we did in the first week. And then in the second week, once we got those things cleared up by doing the 360 reviews, in the second week, we started by eliciting from the client. So what's important about that for you? What would that do for you? Right, by asking some questions, it did a couple of things. It forced us to have to listen. It started setting up the habit of asking and involving the customer, asking instead of telling. And then the last couple of weeks, we just set up some basics on how to structure agreement, and right, we're just kind of in that mode. Now, this week, we're shifting gears a bit. So this week, we are beginning the structure of assumption. So now, for the first time, we're going to start moving forward. What we've been doing is really setting up the context and setting up how to listen and finding out what we're doing. Right now, we're going to start moving forward a little bit by beginning to make some assumptions about how things are and how things work. Now, there's a structure to that. I trust that you've all heard the saying that great salespeople assume the sale. What does that mean? Well, there's a certain level in which assumption will open doors for us. And let's start by looking briefly at what's the opposite of that. So if great salespeople don't assume the sale, then what are they doing? Right? If you're not assuming the sale, what are you doing? Well, if you're not assuming the sale, then most likely you're hoping that you're going to get the sale. And if you're hoping that you're going to get the sale, then what framework does that put us in for the conversation with the client? Right now we're saying, well, you know, come on, you should hire me, and I'm really good, and let me tell you why I'm good. Because you're not assuming the sale. You're assuming that the customer is a no, or the customer is a maybe, or the customer hasn't decided yet. So I want to assume the sale. What does that mean? It means I want to act as if everything's going to go perfectly. I want to act as if the client's going to sign. Of course they are. And standing in this position of, well, of course they are. They're going to make a good decision for them, and this is what's going to help them. And once I assume the sale, once I assume the client is going to make the right decisions and move forward, et cetera, then instead of spending our time together attempting to convince them to hire me, now I can spend our time together solving their problem, finding out what they need, helping them get centered, helping them get solved, right? It changes everything. So that's what we're going to take on today. And assumption has a structure. There's actually four different structures for assumption, and we're going to do all four of them today. So, as usual, I like to start and open up the calls just by doing a little feedback with all of you and a little check-in. So last week, we did pacing statements, and we did tie-down questions. And if memory serves me, we also did, in the rapport game, we also did speed and opposite speed, I think, which is the rapport game of matching their speed. And the opposite would be the rapport destroying game, to destroy the rapport on purpose as an exercise. I think that was last week, too. So any thoughts, any questions, any ahas, any breakthroughs that you've had, anything that we've done so far that you think is amazing that you want to share, any awesome breakthroughs that you've had, any questions that you have, something we did didn't make sense, anything at all. Open book, open forum, any topic, nothing's off limits. Any ahas, any breakthroughs, any anything. Star 6
Alexis
on your
here.
Phone. Yes. Hi. Hello, Alexis.
Hi. I had a pretty cool experience the other day during an appraisal inspection where the owner and I started talking about design, and I told her my background and the interior architecture, and she started asking my opinion on all of these renovations she has planned to do. And I noticed that whereas normally I would just give her my opinion, what I thought would look best, I found myself asking her questions about, like, how is this, you know, choice going to fit your lifestyle over, you know, this other option. And it completely, I noticed it completely changed the conversation, and the result was totally different than what it would have been otherwise. And I think that she got some, like, much more powerful feedback from me, because I was kind of facilitating, like, drawing out, you know, what her needs and preferences actually were and how they would suit the way she likes to live versus what I thought aesthetically would be the best thing to do. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it was really, like, really pretty cool. And I think it, I started a good pattern for future conversations where people are just, they, you know, especially as an appraiser, they want to know my opinion. But oftentimes they're focused on resale value, whereas I think the most important thing is how they actually like to live. So, so I was really appreciative of that experience.
Bravo. Bravo. And that might be a nice way to frame that too, if they say, and I think most of our realtor clients feel the same way, right? People want my opinion. I'm the professional. They're inviting me over for my opinion. Well, in your, which is partially true. In your case, if they say, hey, Alexis, I want your opinion, before offering your opinion, I would want to frame it a little bit to say, are you asking what I think would give you better resale value? Are you asking what I think might be on the inspection? Are you trying to set up this house because you're flipping it as an investor and you want maximum retail? Or do you want my opinion on what would be most comfortable? And, you know, how is that for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm totally on board. And, yeah, I don't feel like I know the right answer for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So bravo, Alexis. Bravo.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Again, I think questions are the answer. Right? I don't know what the real answer is. I'm just going to keep asking and asking, and what about this, and what are you looking for, and how do you want to live, and how does this work for you? And eventually, the right answers are going to bubble up to the surface. Right? Remember, the right answers are always contained inside the client. We just need to uncover them. So, bravo. Anybody else? A question, a win, an aha. How about a breakthrough? Anybody have any
Joel?
Cool aha experience from the rapport game? Yes, that sounds like Douglas.
Yes.
Hey, Douglas.
I said, just told me you're doing the work.
Douglas, I hate to say this, but you're totally breaking up, and I got like every fifth word.
Okay, is that better?
A little bit, yes, for now.
Okay. I just said, Alexis, that was awesome what you just said. I mean, that's just beautiful. And Jimmy and I have been doing role play. And
yep.
It's really fascinating to me because Jimmy is me a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's an addiction to a way of thinking. And I can feel him going into another part of his brain. And it's almost like, oh, my God, can I trust this? This is so different.
Well, it's very like different than the way we've been taught. It's very different. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rather than saying, well, if I could show you how to net more money in the sale of your home, would you do? Let's set an appointment. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up again, man. You need to go stand on the roof and, like, strike a pose, like, make yourself rabbit ears or something, because we're missing it.
The work is incredible, and I'm taking it somewhere different, but to be role-playing with somebody who's where I was a year ago is
yeah.
really fun to watch. It's just
awesome.
But I find, Joel, am I tapping a different part of the brain? Because something feels really different when I'm doing this.
Well, certainly. So the part of the brain, we're slightly off topic here, everybody, I promise this will be a short comment. The part of the brain that most people are using in here is the memory recall portion, right? We've been taught, we've been modeled sales in the old school, right? We were all modeled sales by, you know, infomercials growing up, right? It slices, it dices, it does this, it does that, but wait, don't answer now, right? We've all been modeled the way in which we sell is manipulative and convincing, right? So that's a different part of the brain. And the way I think sales happens comes from a place of curiosity and contribution, which is a different part of the brain. So the old school sales is the salesperson knows everything and they're going to convince you that they're right. My model of sales is I don't know anything. I'm just going to start asking questions like Alexis just did. Well, I don't know. How is this going to work for you? And what would you like it to do? And what would be the most convenient for you? And from a model of being curious, it's a completely different structure, and it comes from a different, it's not memory recall, like convincing. A lot of salespeople, I still hear it today, a lot of salespeople, their model is learn the product. So let's say you're selling widgets, whatever that is, right? So you're selling a widget, and most salespeople think their job is to memorize all the features and benefits of the widget. So when they talk to the client, they can say, and it does this, and it does that, and it's made out of carbon fiber, and we either made in America, and we and let me tell you. And I don't think that's selling. I think that's convincing, which is why most people resist salespeople, because they don't want to be convinced. So.
Okay, so what I'm finding, though, is this approach, it creates the rapport, which creates the trust, which creates the subconscious effect or a subconscious connection. You know,
well,
where go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. I think what happens is, like, let's take what Alexis just shared as a model. So instead of saying, well, you should do it this way because I think this way is right. Now, what happens when I say that? Now, it doesn't matter what the topic is. Like, let's just practice with this class. What happens if I say to you, you should tell everybody that you know, everybody, you should tell everybody you know to take this class because this is the best class in the world. What happens to you when I say that? It immediately puts you into judgment, right? Oh, here we go, bias, uh-huh, right? It's, well, the class is pretty good, but it's not the best class in the world, and obviously you're biased, and when I say something like that, it forces you to be in judgment. That's not what I want to happen to my clients, my customer. I want them to be in curiosity. So if somebody says, hey, I'm interested in that sales class, tell me about it. I'll say, okay, well, what are you selling? And what kind of models are you using now? What's your success ratio look like? Would you role play with me? I'd like to hear it. So what's the difference? One is I'm telling them my opinion, which forces them to judge. The second one, I'm curious, I'm interested, I'm trying to figure it out, I'm evaluating, I'm helping them self-discover. That's really the key, helping them self-discover, which demonstrates that I'm on their side. When I say, no, you need to do it because it's amazing, let me tell you, it's amazing, it slices, it dices, it does that too, I'm clearly not on their side. I'm clearly on my side. So that's the difference, right? The more that you can really take the customer's side, the more they're clear that you're looking out for their best interest. They no longer need to protect themselves. They start to open up and share authentically. They think you're awesome because you're looking out for them. You're no longer a pitch man, or pitch person. Right, that's a huge difference, huge, huge, huge. So my belief structure is that sales should be customer-centric, all about the customer. And the old model of sales that most salespeople follow is salesperson-centric. In fact, it makes my, forgive me if you've been through that other training, it makes my skin crawl when I hear people see people put stuff on Facebook that says, hey, I've set a big goal for myself and I want to sell 50 houses this year, so who do you know that you can make a referral so I can meet my goals? Ugh. Not about you. That's not about you. So awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Douglas. Thank you. And awesome that you and Jimmy are role-playing, because I can feel it. That guy's got some chops. He's gonna be a powerhouse coming up soon. And there's something, too, I have found. I've been teaching this for a long, long time, and it seems to me that people who speak multiple languages, especially if English is not their first language, those people seem to do really, really well in here. I assume it's because this class is kind of tinkering a little bit with the language, and non-native speakers tend to be a little more flexible like that, I think. But I'm just making that up. So, cool. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything? Breakthroughs, ahas, confusion, anything before we shift gears?
Hey, good morning, Joel. This is Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
So thank you very much for taking my call. So
sure.
I've been going through these phases, these classes, the stages, and I'm really struggling with it. In the sense that, okay, how do I put this thing into a dialogue with the client?
Yeah. Great question. And I'm sad to tell you that you don't. You don't put this into a dialogue with a client. So the magic here, Jimmy, the place that's really going to completely liberate you is to not try to put this into a dialogue. Instead, only practice and build habits. So the goal for you is, after last week, you built up a habit that is pacing people and tying down. Right? So what was that? That was, oh, you want a 5-bedroom house. That makes sense, right? Great. You want to move closer to the beach. That'll be wonderful, won't it? Let me make sure I got this straight. You need to sell this house. You want to buy a bigger one. And you need a 4-car garage. Right? Whatever that is. And they go, yep, uh-huh, mm-hmm, that's true. So the goal of last week was to just start this habit for you. The goal of this week, which we're going to get to in just a minute, is to start another habit of having you begin to assume outcomes. And what you'll find, Jimmy, is, and it won't happen today, it takes a little bit of this, that the more that you practice these tools, the more you're exposed to these techniques, that what you'll do ultimately is you won't have any sort of pre-planned dialogue. Instead, you'll just talk to people. And as you're speaking to them, you'll begin to say things like, great, I totally understand that you want a bigger house, and what's important to you about getting that bigger house? And you'll just speak to them the way you normally do, yet you'll be speaking in this new language, which really is the language of agreements. So that may not have been the answer you were looking for, and yet it's coming. My plan here is that you practice all these tools and techniques, and then eventually they just become natural to you. My favorite example is, I have a really good friend that has 5 different black belts. Let that sink in for a moment. He's got a black belt in karate, kung fu, sistema, jiu-jitsu, and a thing called saosu. 5 black belts, this guy. He's unbelievable. And, think of all the different tools that he knows. And all those tools that he knows are very rigid. Yet this guy moves like water. Why? Because now all he has to do is react, because he's got these unbelievable habits. So that's the goal, is that you just practice these tools and they eventually become your habits. And then you just talk to people. Awesome. Is that helpful, Jimmy?
Yeah, that definitely helps me, you know, a lot.
Perfect.
My next question to you is, so you ask us to write these sentences every every day.
Yes.
So how do we know that these sentences that we're writing down is the real one? Are they genuine? Are they genuine sentences?
They're not the real sentences. So Jimmy, if you were training to go into combat, and I said, okay, I want you to do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups every day because I want you to be stronger. Are those the right push-ups? Are those the right sit-ups? I don't know. The goal is, are you doing them? So again, there is no magic sentence. There is no right thing for you to do. There's only getting stronger and building better habits. And you'll see, Jimmy, in the coming weeks where all the things that you're working on and like the stuff that we're doing today, you'll see how they all start to fit together like puzzle pieces. It's we have to learn some structure. I like to say we have to learn how to chop all the vegetables before we learn how to cook. So we're still kind of chopping the vegetables right now, and you'll see soon. They're all going to come fitting together here very shortly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Great questions. Great, great, great. And why don't we jump in and do some new stuff today? Today, our structure is on assumption. So let me give you a little background, just a little perspective on assumption. And I think there's one typo in your handout. I'll correct that in just a moment. So in your handout, there's a thing that says assumption. Under that, it says reality. So consider, what is the nature of reality? Is it what you think it is? Or is reality not what we think it is? Technically, reality is a perspective. Reality, what we think reality is that reality is just the sum total of our beliefs about reality. And when we shift our thoughts and beliefs, reality shifts too. And there is no, this should say in your handout, it should say there is no objective truth. There's no objective truth. Because we're human beings. We look at everything through a subjective filter. So what this means is that there's 7.3, 7.4 billion human beings on Earth, which means there's 7.3, 7.4 billion different perspectives and 7.3 billion different realities. So what's a reality for one is not a reality for another. So what's real? What's real? If you haven't seen, I'm going to mention this more than once, I'm sure. If you haven't seen the movie The Matrix Part 1, I recommend that you watch it. There's a spectacular scene early-ish in the movie when they first unplug him and they go into this loading program where the white background, and there's basically two men standing in a, it's not even a room, it's just a white screen. There's no floor, no ceiling, it's just a white space. And there's two men standing there and there's two leather chairs. And one of them says, "What are we in a computer program?" The Neo, the student, says, "Are we in a computer program?" And Morpheus, the teacher, says, "Is that so hard to believe?" And Neo, the student, rubs his hand along the back of this leather chair, and he says, "This isn't real, this chair. I can feel it. I can touch it. Are you telling me this isn't real?" And Morpheus, the teacher, says, "Well, what is real? If you think reality is what you can see, what you can touch, what you can hear, what you can smell, then all of those things are merely electrical signals in your brain." All of reality is electrical signals in your brain. All of it. So let's make some assumptions. And what kind of assumptions are we going to make? Well, let's make some assumptions that are good for the client and good for you and good for the world. All right, so pretty much everything has some kind of assumption in it already. It's just how we are. So listen to this and let's tear apart a few levels of assumption. Maybe you say something like this to your client. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the home, don't you? One more time. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the home, don't you? All right. What is being assumed in that sentence? Well, I'm assuming they want the most money for their home. I'm assuming that they want me to get it for them. I'm assuming they definitely want you to get it for them. I'm assuming that profit is more important than their timing. I'm assuming they want their house sold. I'm assuming they have a house. And even right now, just talking to you about it, the fact that I keep saying they implies I'm speaking about more than one person. So if our language creates our realities. Let me back that up. Because assumption is an act of creation and what we say has power, then our language creates our realities. The question is, what realities would you like to create for other people? What realities would you like to create for yourself? So there's four different structures of assumption that we're going to take on today. They're called presuppositions. Presuppositions are the linguistic model, the linguistic system structure that creates an assumption. And there are, there are four of them. There's an adverb that describes the verb or the state of being, an adverb presupposition. There's an automatic presupposition that describes something that occurs without conscious thought. There is an awareness presupposition that focuses the attention on something specific. And there's a temporal presupposition. Temporal has to do with time, le temps, temporary, temp. Temporal presuppositions determine when something happened or will happen. All right, so let's break these down and go through them in a little detail. We have four to cover, so we're going to rip through them pretty quick. So the first one is an adverb. So a presupposition itself assumes that something is already true. Obviously, the verb defines the action or state of being, so the adverb qualifies the verb. So examples of adverb presuppositions are things like luckily, happily, fortunately, obviously, definitely, easily, quickly, naturally, unfortunately, whatever. So notice when we say whatever it is that we say, this adverb presupposition sets the tone. It creates the state. So how do we use these? As we simply decide what state of being is the most helpful for the client, and then presuppose that state of being is here. For example, example number one there says, well, naturally, you want to hire an agent that you can trust, right? So what am I doing? I'm presupposing that hiring an agent that you can trust is a natural belief. I want to assume that that's natural. You could also say, obviously, you want to hire an agent that you trust, right? So what am I doing? I'm presupposing that the statement that follows is natural or obvious or whatever presupposition, whatever assumption you determine is most helpful for your client. Right, example number two says, fortunately, you already know that you need to be pre-approved to show the seller that you can buy the property. Don't you? You know that, right? Fortunately, you already know. So what am I doing? I'm presupposing that it's fortunate. The client already knows XYZ, and it's fortunate that they know that. All right, number three says, happily, when we list your house tonight, you'll be one step closer to your grandchildren. Won't that be great? So what am I doing? I know what they want because I asked them the criteria questions. What's important about moving, blah, blah, blah. What would that do for you, right? Theirs was all about the grandkids. So now I'm saying happily or fortunately, whatever, whichever one feels like it fits to you. When we do this, you'll be one step closer to your grandkids. That's what you want, right? Uh-huh. So I'm just simply presupposing the state of being. All right, really fast, the next two. Certainly, you know that when you vote your conscience, most of these state problems will disappear. Can you imagine? It's hard to vote your conscience when we have two bad choices. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks, too. And then the last one says, obviously, this is self-talk. You talking to yourself, me talking to myself. Obviously, all I need to do is follow my schedule, and my business will work itself out. What I want, right? So notice that's different than saying, follow my schedule, my business will work out. I'm saying, obviously, all I need to do. I'm pre-framing, I'm presupposing that this whole structure is obvious. Why? Because this is self-talk. And I want to pre-frame this as, well, it's obvious. Why? Why would I want to pre-frame that to myself? Why would I want to pre-frame that as it being obvious? Because when I know it's obvious, there's less for me to resist. Oh, of course, that's obvious. Okay, that was the first one. We have three more to go. Questions. That's started with the easiest one. They get a little more complex as we go. So any questions about the adverb presupposition? That's the easiest one.
Joel?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to take a shot at this because I'm sensing something, and this is where the change is happening for me.
Fire away.
Rather than going into my usual it's about me routine, you're focusing on the rapport you've built, and then this is almost guiding them forward.
Yeah, so... Douglas said something very interesting. He said, building upon the rapport that we have already built. Yes. So in order for you to assume anything, there has to be some structure of rapport there first. Otherwise, nobody's going to listen to you. So yes, build some rapport, then make these assumptions. Okay, Doug, go ahead.
Okay, well, I just really appreciate this, Joel, because the last time I took this class, what you've done is you've broken it down into bite-sized pieces, so I get it so
yeah.
Much better. It goes deeper, faster.
Pretty much every time I've been doing this class for 10 years, pretty much every time I launch it, something changes. I'm constantly, you know, scribbling notes to myself and updating the workbooks and changing the examples, and I've just been fine-tuning it. Every time you guys ask a good question, and I go, oh, wow, I should have that in there. So, yeah, theoretically, if you take it 10 times, it's going to be 10 different workshops. So, awesome. Thanks for the kind words there, Douglas. All right, so that was number one, adverb. Super easy. Just at the very beginning, just pre-frame by what I want to have happen. Right? Obviously, blah, 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 blah. Why? Because I want them to view what I'm saying as it being obvious. Fortunately, blah, blah, blah. I want them to see it through the filter of being fortunate. All right, next one. The next one is an automatic presupposition. So I trust that you all know what this means, but let's dig in for just a moment. What does the word automatic really mean? Automatic. So imagine most of us drive a car with an automatic transmission. So that means that you just stick it in D for drive, and the car shifts automatically. When you need more torque, it shifts down. When you need more speed, it shifts up. When you come to a stop sign, stoplight, it shifts down. When you get on the highway, it shifts up. Most of us don't even know how many gears the car has. You have an automatic transmission in your car, it might have 5, 6, 7, could even have 8 speeds. Most of us don't even know. In fact, most of us can't even tell when the car is shifting up or down. It's just smooth. It's invisible. It's automatic. Whether you want it to or not, that happens. So if you could assume, if you could structure a presupposition and assume that something about your business, about the sale, about the appointment, about your listing appointment, about your client meeting, if you could assume that something was going to happen automatically, what would you like to have happen, just automatically happen in your business? What do you think? Chime in. Star 6, come in here and tell me. What would you like to have occur automatically in your business? Anybody? What would you like your clients to do without being asked?
Decide to work with me.
Well, that's one, right? I just want them to, as soon as they talk to me, everybody who meets with me automatically signs a contract. Sure. What else? How about any time that one of your clients hears anybody speaking about real estate or appraisals or selling cars or whatever it is that you do, that they automatically say, oh, my God, you got to talk to my guy. Here's his card. He's amazing. Or you got to talk to my real estate agent. She's amazing. Here's her card. You got to talk to my appraiser. She's fantastic. Here's her card. What if your clients would just automatically pass out your card when they heard anybody talk about your industry? Maybe that. How about if you're listing property, I would like my clients to automatically request a price reduction if we don't get an offer in 3 weeks. I don't know, those kind of things. I mean, I would like those things to happen automatically. So here's a few automatic presupposition keywords there. Automatically or involuntarily or instinctively, spontaneously, steadily, even without thinking. Maybe almost magically, maybe. So what am I assuming is going to be this way? Well, let's look at example number one. What if we said, even without thinking about it, you already know that we must list your home at a price that will attract in buyers. We want lots of buyers to come see it, right? So what am I presupposing here? That listing the home at a price will attract buyers is something that they understand, even without thinking about it, even without blah, blah, blah. I'm presupposing, I'm assuming that they don't need to think about this, that it's just innate. It's got to be at a price that people are going to want to buy. Example number two says, it should be like second nature for you to do the math. Compare how much you're paying your current broker to the cap available at Keller Williams. Right? For those of you that are not Keller Williams, don't know this, Keller Williams has a cap, meaning once you sell enough houses and you split with the house, whatever your split is, 70, 30, 80, 20, 90, 10, whatever that is, when the 10%, 20%, whatever that goes to the house hits a certain level, certain cap, different in different cities, it stops. And then you keep all the rest. So what am I presupposing? That if you're in real estate, it would be like second nature for you to do the math and compare these numbers and see what's best for you. Now, is that true? I don't know. If we're in real estate, it should be second nature for you to look at the bottom line and compare your costs. It's in any business, sure. All right, next example is maybe for your kids. Almost magically, you'll see that as your grades increase, so will your opportunities and the responsibilities I give you. So what am I presupposing? I'm presupposing that as the grades go up, spontaneously, magically, automatically, magic things will occur around them. So I'm just presupposing. I want them to see it through that filter. All right, one more automatic example. This one says, this is my save the world category. This one says, most people instinctively know that only by promoting and protecting individual rights will we ever be able to create a peaceful world for future generations. Won't that be great? So I'm presupposing that instinctively, on some level, buried deep within, in your instincts. Do people, do animals go against their instincts? Almost never. So instinctively, you must know that we have to protect individual rights and civil rights in order for the world to be safe in the future for our kids. Now, is that what you were thinking before I said it? Probably not. That's the nature of assumptions. I'm assuming something that might not have been top of mind. Yet when I say, instinctively, you know that blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure, I know that. My goal is to find a place where they're going to agree and assume that that's happening automatically. Okay, any questions about that one? We got two more to go. No, no questions about that one yet? Okay, good. Here comes the most fun one of the three, I think, of the four, I think, is awareness presuppositions. All right, I'm going to give you a little example here for the awareness presuppositions. So let's all do this right now. By the way, if you happen to be taking this call from your car, if you're driving, do not do this exercise. Assuming that you're not driving, you're not in your car, then follow along. So look around right now, whatever space you're in, your office, your kitchen, your whatever. Look around the space you're in and notice everything in that space that is red in color. Right, just quickly take an inventory. That's red, that's red, that's red, that's red, that's red. And yeah, that's kind of red right there. Okay, I'm going to call that red too. All right, now close your eyes. No cheating. Close your eyes. Now, from memory, with your eyes closed, do your very best to recall everything in your space that is blue. Keep them closed. Can you recall anything in that space that's blue? Okay, now open your eyes and look around. Are there some blue things there that were there in the beginning? I mean, obviously. Obviously, they've been there all along. So, could you recall any? No, why not? Because you were focused on the red things. Now, the blue things were there all along. I didn't do anything magic. They were there. Yet, you probably couldn't recall any, unless there was, you know, some dominant blue thing that you were had a relationship with. Most likely, you didn't recall any of the blue things because your awareness was on the red things. How is it on the red things? Because I directed your awareness to focus on the red things. Now, the blue things were there. However, I steered your awareness to focus on the red things. So listen to this. Awareness presuppositions shift what people are aware of, thereby shifting their focus. By presupposing that someone is aware of something they weren't previously aware of, we're shifting their reality. So I didn't make the red things appear or disappear. I didn't make the blue things simultaneously manifest in your space. However, by guiding your awareness, for a moment, your reality was that you were surrounded by red things. Now, we could do the exercise differently and say, look around everything in your office and look at everything that's blue. Count up all the blue things. Wow, look at all the blue things around you. Okay, great, close your eyes. Right now, your reality is that you're in the middle of this series of blue things. Now, notice, those things didn't change, only what you're aware of changed. So before we jump into this technique, let me leave you with one question in the setup is, do people sometimes focus on things that are not good for them? Sure, I do it all the time, right? I sometimes focus on things that aren't serving me, on places where I'm not happy, on things that I don't like, right? I'm focused on things that aren't serving me. Do your clients do that too? Sure. How about you? Do you do that? God, if I had a dollar for every time I heard a salesperson say, buyers are liars, right? You're aware of something that's not serving you. So in the sales model, what if we could use this tool to help our clients focus on something that does serve them? So the keywords here, the setups here, are things like begin or beginning, notice or noticing, or maybe beginning to notice. Feel, feeling, realize, realizing, starting to understand, beginning to comprehend, discover. Oh, you're starting to discover. Oh, you have discovered. Clearly, you realize. Obviously, you are aware of blah, 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 whatever I want to highlight them being aware of. All right, a few examples. Example number one says, clearly, right, that's an adverb, so we got an adverb in there too. Clearly, you're starting to realize that we need to reduce the price in order to get the home sold. You still want to move close to your grandkids, right? So what if you get a phone call and the client says, what's going on? It's been 5 weeks and we haven't sold and the showings are falling down and what are you doing and where's my open house and what's happening? Yeah, I totally feel your frustration. I get it. And clearly, you're beginning to realize it's time to reduce the price to get the home sold. Now, is that what the client was thinking? No. Is that what the client was pondering? Probably not. Somewhere, deep down, locked into their subconscious, do they know? Yes. Were they focused on that? No, they're blaming you. Where's my open house? Yet I want them to see it through this filter. I'm assuming, clearly, you're beginning to realize this thing over here. Next one, you're sitting down with a client, you're reviewing offers, and the client says, wow, look at this. They say they're willing to do a 30-day rent back if we have problems getting moved. They're willing to give us 30 extra days after close. Wow, that's pretty generous. Might be a good time for you to presuppose something like this. Are you beginning to believe what I say when I tell you this is the right offer for you? Yeah, I guess that is a pretty good offer. Next one, this is for you. Are you starting to understand that the more that you do your home play exercises for this class, the easier it is to close sales? Now, I don't know how strong of a yes that just resonated in your subconscious between your ears. I assume that it did resonate some kind of a yes. Are you beginning to understand? Are you beginning to realize? The more you practice these tools, the easier your job becomes. Okay. A couple more examples there I'll let you read. Questions, comments, anything about that one. I've saved the best for last. The biggest, baddest one is temporal. It's number 4. That was the first 3. A little quick check-in. Any questions, any problems, any anything? Any ahas that you'd like to share before we go on to the next one? Nope.
Joel?
Yes?
Remember when I said I like the way you broke it down into bite-sized pieces?
Yes.
I take it back.
Did you just get lost?
No, I'm just, I'm having some fun with you. This is a challenge. I love it, but there's a lot going on here, and to condition my mind to remember to do this in certain places, it's like you said, it's like learning martial arts.
Exactly. There's a lot of, and this week too, please don't be discouraged. This week, there's a lot to cover. In fact, for many, many years, when I taught this course in the beginning, each of these techniques had its own week devoted to it. Each of these was a whole week, a whole hour. And then for many, many years, I broke them in half and I did 2 1 week and then 2 the next week. And I'm sure it feels a little bit fast. Now I'm doing all 4 in 1 week because it just feels like I have so much to give you guys in the short period of time that I tend to overload it a bit. So if you're feeling a little bit lost, good. That's where we learn the fastest. We learn the fastest in overwhelm, right? You want to learn how to speak Japanese, go to Japan. And when you're immersed in overwhelm, you learn the fastest. So just realize that if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed right now, you're learning it subconsciously. Your mind is picking it up, I promise. Awesome. All right, last one. So this one's, we'll save the biggest one for last. It's the temporal presupposition. So remember, temporary. Temp has to do with timing of when something happens. So temporal presuppositions make assumptions based on timing of an event. So basically, we're going to assume that the event already happened, it's happening now, or it will happen in the future. Basically, some version of before, during, or after. That's it. The key difference, though, in a temporal presupposition, as different from the other three that we just did, a temporal presupposition, the assumption is that the event did not exist before you mentioned it. Right? The other three are different. Obviously, you know that the lower we price the home, the faster it sells, right? But I think they already know that. I'm just assuming to bring their awareness to it, right? You knew you had red things and blue things in your office. All I did was point you at them. Temporal is different. Temporal, I'm assuming something of which there was no agreement before I said it. So the temporal keywords are always some version of before, during, and after. Before, during, since, while, once, now, prior, prior to, after, whatever, right? Before, during, or after, some combination thereof. So the key with temporal, though, is I want to assume something new. Let's say that somebody calls you and they go, hey, you just sold a house, or you just helped my friend sell a house or buy their house, and they're really excited. They said, you're great, and I'm calling. You know, I think it's time for me to get a house. I think I'm ready to buy myself a house. Then you say, great, I'd be really happy to help you. Once you sign the buyer's agreement, we can start looking for your new house right away. Isn't that great? Notice, I'm asking them to do something that I didn't introduce. I didn't say, sure, there's a thing called the buyer agency agreement. It protects you. It protects me. It outlines my fiduciary responsibilities, blah, 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 blah. This is the document that we use. This is how it works. None of that. I'm just going to introduce it by saying, sure, once you sign this agreement, we can start moving. I'm creating that. I'm assuming the agreement because the agreement didn't exist. Let's say, for example, I'm going to make up a different one. Let's say, for example, that, well, we do. You and I, we have an appointment, you and I. We have a standing appointment. Our next one is next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. So I know next week is call number 6. Next week is 11 o'clock Wednesday, 11 Pacific, just like today. You and I have that appointment set up already. So if I say, during our call next Wednesday at 11 o'clock, I'm not assuming anything. Because next Wednesday at 11 o'clock is already scheduled. So there's no temporal presupposition, right? When you call in next week, I'm not assuming anything. However, if I say, when you refer two of your friends to this course, you get a free pass to repeat it. Now you haven't yet referred two friends. We don't even have an agreement that you're going to refer two friends. That's the difference with the temporal. I'm assuming something that doesn't exist before I say it. Right? So during our appointment next Wednesday, I'm confirming. I'm not assuming. Right? That's the difference. All right, let me rip through a few of these and then we'll create and role play and whatever. We're walking through a house and somebody says, oh, wow, look at this kitchen. I might say, since you love this home, let's make an offer right now before somebody else does. Now, they didn't say they loved it. They didn't say they want to make an offer. I'm just based on their, wow, I like this kitchen. I'm assuming, since you love it, let's make an offer. Next one, maybe for your kids. Hey, before you do your homework tonight, let's just check and see what to do tomorrow to make sure you work in priority order. What am I doing? I'm assuming they're going to do their homework, whether they said they would or not. All right, lastly, you're in this class with me. So I'm going to assume by saying, now that you too are committed to make a difference in the world, I recommend that you read this book called Liberty Defined. It's brilliant. Now, did you have a personal mission statement to make a difference in the world, to leave the world in a better place than you found it? Did you have that personal mission? Probably not. But I'm assuming that you do, because on some level, that's in us, unless you're a sociopath, right? They don't have that. Most normal human beings want to contribute to the world. All right, last one, last example here says, while I, or when I, whatever, call my clients every day, I get to contribute to the lives of so many other people. So I'm assuming that those calls are happening every day. Do I do it every day? Sometimes no. Yet I want to assume the outcome that I want, even if I have no agreement to do it. So what if I say that to you? When you set aside an hour or two or three every single day to call your clients, your business will grow because you're determined to grow your business. You got to set aside an hour or two every day. All right, you see how now I'm assuming something that didn't exist. Hey, Joel, we're thinking about maybe selling our house. You know, we're going to move. The house is too big. We need a smaller house. I might say, great. When I come over to look at the house and we measure it and we compare it to the other houses that are for sale, we'll come up with a value that'll help determine how much net profit you're going to get. What did I just do? When I come over to look at the house, I just assumed an appointment. They didn't invite me over. We didn't book anything. I just said, when I come over, this is what we're going to do. Now, the goal is by assuming, when I come over, here's what we're going to do, that now it's alive in the consciousness. And a minute or two into the conversation, I might say, well, I guess all we need to do now is pick a time. What works for you? Do you see how much smoother and easier that is than, so if you invite me over for a listing appointment, would you be willing to do that? If you'd be willing to let me come over, right now I'm putting them in a yes and no kind of a paradigm. I'd rather just say, great. When we get together, here's what's going to happen. One of my favorites here is I say all the time, I say, during the time that you're listed with me, here's what's going to happen. Now, they didn't list with me. They didn't promise me anything. I'm just painting the picture during the time that you're listed with me. I'm planting a subconscious suggestion that there will be a time that they're listed with me. All right. I realize that was a bit fast and furious. I know this week's call is kind of packed. So, questions, comments. Your home play is to practice these. And like Jimmy's question in the beginning, there's no perfect one to do. Right? There's no perfect one. There's only, excuse me, there's only practicing. And hopefully, after practicing a bunch, you'll start to assume things too, right? I just did it there. Hopefully, blah, blah, blah. All right, we just got a couple of minutes left. Any questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, whatever, feel free to write them. I'll hang out for a few minutes and role play with you guys. Whatever it is that you need, create. So remember, the goal is there's no perfect thing to say. There's no perfect script. There's no one thing that's going to solve all your problems. There are tools, however. Once you master all these tools, like a good mechanic, like my friend Dave, the super mechanic, that guy can fix anything. He doesn't care what it is. Why? Because he knows all the tools. He knows how to take stuff apart. He knows how to troubleshoot things. He knows how to put them back together. Like, he knows all. It doesn't make any difference to him what it is. He can fix it. So that's my goal for you. You get all the tools so you can handle it. Questions, comments, anything? Anybody? I heard somebody unmute there. No?
That was me, Joel.
That was you.
I'm accepting the challenge, and
nice.
I have no idea what I'm stepping into. It feels like a new dimension. But this, to me, is like, this is magic. And
yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Just so you know, you're going to love this. You know what, Doug? I've been dying to tell you this for a year, and I just now remembered. So for everybody else on the call that doesn't know, Douglas used to be a magician. His career was a magician. So, Douglas, I know that you've heard the term abracadabra, right? Do you know? Like abracadabra, right? Technically,
yes.
It's pronounced habracadabra. Do you know what that translates as? Do you know what that word means?
I do, but I can't remember right now.
It translates literally to I create as I speak.
Wow.
So isn't that what we're doing here with presuppositions? I'm creating new outcomes. I'm creating new realities. I'm creating new agreements for people just by speaking them into existence. Right, you guys have probably heard me say already in this course, I say things like, you know, when you repeat this class the second or third time, it'll no longer be difficult. It'll be smooth. Like, I can already tell the difference. And Douglas, he's been through a class a couple of times. He's playing at a much higher level. So when the rest of you come through the class two or three or four times, you'll, you know, get those breakthroughs too. Most people have their big aha on the second or third time through when it really starts to gel. So, all right, I see by my clock I'm 1 minute over. So thank you for being here. Next week, we begin the structure of suggestion. How do we bring in a new concept? How do we suggest? Have you considered? Why don't you consider my idea? Right? So we spent the first 5 weeks not really bringing any of our ideas to the table. We've been soliciting from the client. Next week, we start the structure of suggestion. How do we introduce one of our concepts to the client? This is where we start to bring forward our ideas, our perspectives. So suggestion has a structure, and we take that on next week. So that's it. So thank you all for being here, and have an awesome week. Talk to you all next time, and as usual, go make a difference in the world. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Yep.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.